Thank you very much for joining us on Ask the Expert. Today's guest is Bernard de Villepin, who is the rewiring coach. And Bernard helps people to build their professional and business skills. He is a business coach. And today, specifically, he's here to talk about how to make career changes or changes to your career. So thank you very much for joining us, Bernard.
Thank you.
Is there anything I missed out in your introduction?
No, it's a good introduction. So business coaching is like half of my work as a rewiring coach. The other half is providing trainings, soft skills trainings that I think we are going to develop a little bit more later.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, it's based on science-based self-improvement.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean by science-based improvement?
So recently, with the rise of modern psychology, behaviorism, neuroscience, we have a lot of new tools available to us to improve. So we have a lot of data. Mm-hmm. And today we know that certain tools work well with certain person or certain type of persons. And we have all these amazing studies around the world, mm-hmm, that are done to help human grow and optimize how we can self-improve. So I like to compare that to basically, we have all these ancient texts, scriptures, religious or philosophical, that I use a lot in my training. And basically, these texts say who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And science today can help us identify why we are this way rather, mm-hmm, than another. And so this is like a whole new literature that is available to us and that I'm trying to, well, exchange with people and train them with these kind of tools.
So we have a couple of questions that people have submitted regarding a career change. But I think we can really discuss around the topics as well. We don't need to stick strictly to just career changes, because I know that the other work that you do is really important and interesting as well as a business coach. So how do you know when it's the right time to quit a secure job to become independent?
So a lot of my answers will start by, it depends. So first of all, it will depend on who is dependent to you. Like if you have, mm-hmm, a family, I will not advise you to leave like right after tomorrow. But usually what I noticed when I'm doing some business coaching is the sooner the better, as long as, mm-hmm, you are sure of your choices and you have like an idea of your close and medium future.
Mm-hmm.
So I would not advise anybody to quit its job like right now, because this is never a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
However, if I've seen people asking themselves this question for 5 or 6 years. So most of the time, this is wasted time at the end. So usually people are ready to make the big jump when they feel confident. And my role as a coach is to help them become, mm-hmm, confident, because, well, we have a lot of bias, a lot of fears that need to be we need to talk about them, and it can take sometimes, but usually after 2 or 3 months of coaching, people have like the right answer for their future.
Would you ever tell someone, look, I don't think this is a good idea, or I don't think you should change careers, even if they want to?
This is not really the role of a coach. So what I do first when I'm coaching somebody is, after asking him or her if they already had done coaching before, is, mm-hmm, giving some clear definition about what is a coach. So basically, coaching is a conversation. You want to have a clear conversation about people's thoughts, feelings, and actions. So what the coach is going to do is ask the right questions to help you find the right answers.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm starting to say no, you can't choose, it doesn't seem good for you to change job, I'm taking the role of an advisor or a mentor. So I had some client who came to me and say, yeah, I'm looking for a coach who can advise me getting better in such and certain industry and, mm-hmm, give me good advices. This is an advisor or a mentor. A coach will ask you questions, guide you through a conversation, which will be focused on certain outcomes, and help them getting the right answers. So instead of saying, I don't think that's a good idea, I will guide to the people asking himself or herself, well, is that really a good idea? Have I thought about everything? Am I in the right direction?
Mm-hmm.
And this is where I lead people in general.
Okay. The second question, how to balance work and play and how to know when it's more efficient to take a rest?
So it's kind of personal.
Mm-hmm.
Work and play. So when I'm not working as rewiring coach, I'm a data manager in the Big Four. And I've seen like we have like workaholics in this kind of place and people thrive like that. This mm-hmm. is really impressive. I have people that can balance work and play in a very efficient way and they can thrive like that. So it depends of your direct environment. So I don't know, like if you're married or have kids, usually it's a good idea to balance work and play a certain manner. I think you know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And taking rest, I've noticed that some people have like, well, they can handle stress and pressure very well and some people can't.
Mm-hmm.
So you can work on stress. You can work to transform bad stress into good stress, for example. And really, it's about knowing yourself. So for that, business coaching can be helpful. I've helped some people, well, seeing the bigger picture in their work and personal life. So how to balance everything, because, well, we will spend like between 20 and 60% of our meaningful added life working.
Mm-hmm.
And so the balance is always hard to find and always, well, if you want to change career, if you want to take a new path, take a new specialty, it's always starting with yourself and asking the right question about yourself. And yeah, when to take rest. This is, well, personally, usually it's my wife say, okay, now you should take rest. I struggle a little bit with these kind of things, but I believe that made me a good coach because we have this principle of wounded healer, mm-hmm. meaning that you face your own demons and you are able to help people with that. This is always something good to work on. But yes, so balance work and play, this is very personal. Take rest, this is also very personal. And it always starts with a self-inspection of yourself or what are your strengths,
mm-hmm.
capabilities, and more. Most of the time it's limitation because we are not very good at finding on all limitation.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that happened a lot in coaching. People reach a coach with a certain goal. And I would say like 80% of the time, the goal is only the surface, you know. We mm-hmm. need to dig deeper and at the end, it's a whole different thing. And so, yeah, find somebody who will help you ask yourself the right questions to find your balance for the work and the play and your balance about working and resting.
Mm-hmm. I find that I have two types, or there's, you know, this is what I've a pattern that I've seen in my friends. It's like there's two types of work kind of pattern, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And it's like the kind of people who work really, really hard for 3 weeks and then they need a week off, mm-hmm. you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other people who can like work nonstop for a year and then they have a complete burnout and they mm-hmm. and they take a whole career break, you know.
Yeah.
And then there are other people who I find like they take life a bit easier and they work and play, you know, all at the mm-hmm. same time. Is there a better or wrong or right way or wrong way or a better way, or are these dependent on the type of person, or do you think that everyone could make a specific type of change?
Everyone is able to make a certain type of change.
Mm-hmm.
Usually, so all the cases that you described, mm-hmm. I've seen that with my colleagues. And most of the time, the really, really complicated things is to find our own limits.
Mm-hmm.
And some people will go like full and play as long as they can and just burn down.
Mm-hmm.
And well, this is not advised in general because then you should take a long rest. And this is, well, this has always impact on your personal life.
Mm-hmm.
So when you burn in the workplace, you will burn at home too.
Mm-hmm.
So this is how we get like, well, I'm just like more than 30 now and I'm starting to see like friends getting divorced
mm-hmm.
because of the work, because of many things. And yeah, so finding your own limitation, we all have to do that. But is the amount of limitation, well, it's the amount of pressure that we can deal with much more efficiently.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I would say that, yeah, we all need help finding our own limitation and finding our better style of life. But one important thing is always think about yourself, you know, as some kind of temple. You should mm-hmm. preserve yourself because you have like, so basically when I'm giving, well-being training. I'm talking about five just different aspects. So you have like the spiritual aspect of your life, the physical one, the intellectual one, the relationship that you have in your life, and the emotional one. And so you have to think about all these five kind of things that happen at the same time in your life. And well, it always starts with self-introspection again. And it takes it can take a lot of quite some time to be sure that you have the right answer for each one of the right elements that I described.
Okay, the third question. How important are soft skills?
So this is an excellent question because I see the changes in the workplace. So when I'm working as a data manager in a Big Four, I like to talk about like with the person that I've been working there for 30 years. And most of the time when I exchange with them, they say, yeah, the young generation is something different. Usually like 10 to 15 years ago, when a new person was arriving to the firm, they asked for the salary and the brand of the car, basically. And today they told me like, they want to know, do we have flexibility? Who will be my team? And will I have trainings? And what will be like my improvement path? And all these kind of things. So the older generation noticed like a big change. And I think this is for the best. So how important are soft skills? Today, we are starting to recognize that soft skills are like the majority of the skills required in the workplace.
Do you want to explain quickly what the soft skills are?
Sure. So soft skills, it's about the personal skills that you have, like your mindset, how you behave with people, how you thank people. And it's to oppose to hard skills, which are the technical skills, like how to use some tools, how do you code, like how do you handle technical skills. And so the soft skills are the human skills or the power skills. It depends on who you ask. But we can all improve our soft skills because we are all human. We are designed to get better. I had like a big discussion in the workplace with somebody. And basically the question was, is it the role of the organization to make its employees better? So we landed on a big yes. So this was kind of cool. But soft skills are super important because we are all humans, and whatever we do, we will do that in relationship with another human. Even if you are working on technical skills, I don't know, like you coding a new application, and you will never be the only one to code. And somebody will review your code, and somebody will use your project. So we are all like very interconnected in today's world. And so the latest studies say that the job success is 90% soft skills, 10% technical skills. And however, when companies usually are providing trainings to their employees, 30% of the trainings are soft skill training, meaning that there is like a huge gap between what is really impacting your day-to-day job and what you are being trained for. And so, yeah, I see more and more and more soft skills in the workplace, well, soft skill training in the workplace, so this is quite a good news. And so, yeah, this is really important. And today's workplace is mature enough to realize that soft skills is important, balance your personal and professional life is important, and then a happy and productive employee would be much more efficient than somebody who will work and burn and just leave his job.
How do you assess someone's soft skills?
This is really tricky. You have a lot of personality tests that exist. The Myers-Briggs test, for example, will tell you what kind of personality you are. But these kind of tests are, well, difficult to assess because if you had like a bad night of sleep, you will not be the same than if you had like a really good night of sleep.
Very true.
If we ask you to answer to that test when you have 2 hours of sleep, or like you had like a great time with your family and friends and you slept like super well and you are like so happy of your day, it will not be the same result. So usually when we have like this soft skill test, studies show that in 50% of the time we have not the same result when we do a test, and 6 months later we do another test. So we are constantly changing, learning, we make new friends, we live new experiences, and all these things are changing us. This is due to what we call neuroplasticity. So this is the ability of the brain to change itself. And this is a trick. And I think this is why, basically, we have more technical training, because we can assess a technical skills. Do you know how to code? How well do you know how to code? Do you know how to handle projects? Do you know your projects, the management methodologies, whatever you want, this can be assessed by a simple I know it or I don't know it. Mm-hmm. Soft skills are inherently human, and what makes us human is change.
Mm-hmm. So it's much harder to gauge, isn't it, how good someone is with their soft skills.
Exactly.
But rather, if you actually maybe if you ask someone that's worked with them for a longer period of time, they'd be able to give you a better answer than someone who just tests them on the day.
Exactly. Right. This is why we have like this importance of feedback along the year between like a director and the people he's managing.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the end, you can really assess soft skills as a human to another.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best way to assess soft skills. We have to be aware that we all have bias.
Mm-hmm.
This is a good way to assess from one human to another.
So question number 4 is a little bit more specific. Could a dentist work in a different area doing another graduation? So I think graduation there is like another study, you know, like another education path, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, basically soft skills are what we call so transferable skills, meaning that it is the kind of skills that you can use in pretty much all the job. So if you're a dentist, you are facing clients, you are discussing with them because most of your clients will be very stressed.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to understand what is stressing them and you have to talk about it with them. So this is another excellent soft skills. You have to prioritize, you have to do some problem solving when you have something that you don't know, you have to do some research, you have to deal with your calendar, you have to do a lot of things that you can reuse in basically any job. So this is really the strength of the soft skill. And it depends. So if you are a dentist and you want to become, a developer, you will just have to learn how to code. You have like a lot of things on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a problem. But I personally think that changing career and changing job is a really good thing because you can like import what you know from your job, your point of view, and implement it into another job.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the thing that we are looking for today in most companies. This is what we call diversity,
mm-hmm.
because we know that diversity of point of view will bring value today in opposition to how the job marketplace was 40, 50 years ago, where there was like basically one good way to do things. And
mm-hmm.
now we are looking for really innovative things. So we are like in this globalization, and we know that our clients come from potentially all around the world. So the more insight and different culture we have, the better.
Mm-hmm. How do you pitch a career change in a resume or a cover letter?
This is a tricky one.
It's a good question. Yeah, I like this question.
Yeah, because, again, it depends, obviously. But to pitch a resume, the most important thing is the why.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is like the only thing that people will be mostly interested. Knowing your why and communicating your why is always the best thing to do. So in coaching, we have like this very famous coach called Simon Sinek, I would guess in English, and basically wrote a book called Why, in which he explains that most successful company know their why. So they are not selling products, they are selling something. And this is a really good way of telling your story and telling your why is an excellent thing to do when you want to pitch your resume or cover letter.
Mm-hmm. So if you just explain why you want to make that career change, then people will be understanding of the fact that maybe you lack experience. Which leads me to the next question, which is how do you establish reasonable expectations of the process? Do you have any advice about this, e.g. timing and how to get into it?
So usually you have like this career framework where you say you want to change your career. So one thing you have to do is find out where you are good.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing is where you want to work. So when you mix like these two things, you say, okay, I can do that and I can do that here. So this is like the really basic answer. But I do not believe like there are like strong process about career changing. Usually it's always start with knowing what you want, so doing some self-reflection, knowing your why you want to change, because it will help you get into the right direction. And the timing, usually it's as soon as possible when you take into account all the limitation of your personal and professional lives, obviously. And how to get into it, most of the time, the basic recommendation will be networking. So try to see people that you know that could work in the area that interests you, and or go to like a specific event. I know that in Luxembourg you have a lot of events about anything. So this is like a great opportunity to meet some people and ask them about the job. And one final thing is, as a coach, usually what I see is people are not leaving jobs, people are leaving people.
Mm.
So this is not always the case, but it's the major in the majority of the cases is you are living like a bad manager, bad director, like toxic environment or workplace. Because this is really this kind of human behavior that have an impact on your well-being, and so this is really important. So usually you have like the good career advice is choose your job and choose your boss too. So you will meet like some people when you are doing your interviews, mm-hmm. and count on your feelings. This is always a good advice. Like, if you have a good feeling with some people, it should be a good direction for you. Maybe you can move into this company.
I always say that your gut instinct is exactly. always right, isn't yeah, it?
Exactly,
yeah,
exactly.
All the information your body has actually already processed.
Mm-hmm.
How late is too late?
Usually I advise to start to change, or just to look if you want to change your job, just take some of your personal time to do your research, meet some new people, so you can start the process as soon as possible, because this will not have like any big impact on your career or on your personal life. So this is always a good thing. So how late is too late? This is a really good question, and I would say that the big problem would be not to act and find excuses.
Mm-hmm.
So as a coach, I like to laugh about that, saying that the humans are really the best at finding excuses, like by far. And if you don't want to move, or if you don't have the opportunity, or if you are afraid, it's never a good reason. So there is no too early or too late. It's just like you have to take the first path, you have to move forward. Changing career is quite impactful.
Mm-hmm.
It would be impactful on you, on your family, on your career, on your colleagues, all on you. It's always, the difficult thing is always to take the first step, as always. And don't find excuses. Try to make the first step. Even if you don't want to change it, to change your job right now, at least gather some information, some experience, some feedback, and then make your mind with the information that will be here, and business coaching can help you with getting the right questions to find the right answers.
If you change careers later on in life, does that mean that you have to take an entry salary, even if you are in your 40s with plenty of experience in a different field?
So this is more like a human resources question,
mm-hmm.
rather than a business coaching question. But I would say that, I see that entry salary seems quite excessive. But I will not be able to give like some information about salaries. Because my knowledge is quite limited, and I know that all the companies have like salary grids.
Mm-hmm.
So it will depend on on the human resources department most of the time.
Mm-hmm. How often do you see career changes, and usually at what stage in life?
So as a business coach, I see career changes a lot. And because when people want to see me, it's because they want to change something in their business life. And usually people do a new diploma, like an MBA, and mm-hmm. they really want to take a big step up in the hierarchy. So this is like the big career change after like new studies.
Is that effective when people take time out and go and study MBAs? And
Well, again, I personally think that MBAs are really powerful to get some new insight and some new theory about the workplace. And the really strong thing of MBA is to extend your network with like highly educated people.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the price of an MBA is mostly about the network.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, usually, most of the time it's effective.
Okay.
I've seen some like, I had one client who had like a big mistake because he thought that an MBA was mostly about getting new insight and studying new thing, mm-hmm. and he didn't meet any people during the whole MBA.
Yeah.
So after that, you say, okay, I have new things, but I don't know anybody. And the power of network is really important. I've seen also people just wanted to, so you have different kind of career change. You can stay in the same job, but change your specialty. So you will get like new certification and you will be able to like start a new path, but stay in the same job.
Mm-hmm.
So if you like your, if you feel like your job is getting kind of boring, you can still do some changes.
Mm-hmm.
But you keep like the same team, same colleagues, and you will just like have like new opportunity to work on new exciting project. Another one would be like to change job within your company. That's something that I've seen also, which is a good idea because you stay in the same environment. And changing your job doesn't mean that you hate everything about your workplace and the people you are working on.
Mm-hmm.
It can like most of the time. So this is a link to business coaching. Small parenthesis. The thing that I see the most when people want to change something is a trust issue.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see like surveys saying people want to change job because I want to earn more money, I want to spend less time in the traffic or things like that, it's always like very quantitative answers.
Mm-hmm.
But in the workplace, we start to talk about like psychological safety.
Mm-hmm.
Which basically in your workplace is your ability to speak up and be yourself. So this is really important, and I see more and more people wanting to change their job because they don't have like this psychological safety with their management. And most of the time it's trust issues that push people to change the job.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's not the main reason, but it's always in the package of the changing reasons, let's say like that. And so end of the parenthesis. And so people change, they want just to change a specialty in the same job. They want to change like job, but stay in the same company. And they want to just change company, but stay in the same job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a big four. And every year we have like so many colleagues that go in another big four. Like we are exchanging a lot of resources, but they are keeping the same job. So you have like all these big changes that are quite important. And so I see a lot of career changing and at all ages.
Mm-hmm.
Usually when people are older, they really want to change. Well, they want to change more. So young people, they will change their pathway.
Mm-hmm.
They will change like, they will keep the same, more or less the same job and go in another company, or they will just change their job in the same company. And I see the biggest changes with, the more senior people, like 40 and plus. And so, personally, I can't say that there is not a good moment to change your career plan. And according to the studies, we will spend like 80,000 hours working.
Oh, wow.
During all our life.
Okay.
So we can, I think, dedicate a few hours of this one to just like plan your career.
Mm-hmm.
And so be sure that, it's important to like what we do because we are going to work a lot of time.
What are the, just out of curiosity, what are the qualities that you see in your clients that make people successful?
Well, I think they all have in common the good mindset.
Mm-hmm.
They want to change and they took the first step. So, you know, they have the courage to say, okay, I want to move forward. I have no idea where or how long it will take, but I want to change. And I think this is the biggest step in any change. It's like, just take the first step. And so this is really the mindset. People are ready, because when you are ready to change, you are ready to listen to others, to put yourself in question, ready to start this self-reflection work about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is like this click where people are saying, okay, now I'm changing. And sometimes people are just want to be coach, and this click will happen during coaching.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. Now I'm ready to change. I just wanted to be coach because I heard that some of my colleagues is doing coaching also, and I wanted to try. And we are bringing like some new insights for them, which is quite important. And yeah, they are ready to grow and go into this growth zone when you will start to learn, you will start to fail, which mm-hmm. is sort of like, well, when you start to change, you will start to fail, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, they are ready to do that. And they have like what we call this growth mindset. So this mindset where they are ready to grow in opposite to the fixed mindset where like everything is fixed and you don't want to move. I think they all have in common the good mindset to change, to move, and to continue the step that they have taken.
Okay, so for the last question, I'm going to take the liberty of using my own question that I wanted to ask. I noticed that, so I was not somebody who would do a ton of exercise before. You know, I played tennis for fun and that was it. And then when I started to go to the gym and make physical changes to my routine and my schedule, I noticed that it gave me the courage to make big changes in my career as well. And I keep asking people, I was like, do you think it's a coincidence that when I started working out more, I became braver in my career decisions? And I don't know, like, is it a coincidence? Or do you think that there is some correlation between physical changes and mental changes?
There is a big correlation between physical and psychological mindset, obviously. So yeah, you notice well. So congratulations for that.
Thank you.
Yeah, usually what we all recommend is having this basis of exercise because it will bring you like a lot of good. You will have like dopamine and stuff like that when you move and all this kind of thing will trigger some new things about yourself, some changes about yourself, and all this exercise you will do will get you in a different mode that will give you like new insights about yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so usually whatever we do, so whatever when we are like working, doing some self-reflection, learning some new things, we always recommend people to move right after, because this is a really good way to foster neuroplasticity, and I like to recommend physical coaching to people when I'm doing business coaching, because
mm-hmm.
you get like some doing exercise is a great way that has been proven in many studies. It's a great way to find a new personal insight, physiologically speaking.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So it's not a coincidence. Okay. Thank you so much for coming in to explain about your business coaching, but also about changing careers. So if people want to find out more information, they can go on to your website, which is
rewiringcoach.com. And it's also on LinkedIn if they want. And feel free to send me some message. I will answer promptly. And thank you for the invitation.
Thank you.